Greek playwrights used to introduce their work with a prologue giving some background details and miscellaneous information. So I'm going to begin this video with a short prologue or introduction. I'm a writer of books by trade, so I suppose this is also in a way of being a preface or a foreword. Time is running out for this channel, and I fear for all of us unless we take action quickly and with as much, if not more, determination as our oppressors. YouTube has been taking down my videos with increasing enthusiasm, and I've long since given up wondering why. This morning I received a rather severe message from the head prefect telling me that they don't allow content that disputes the efficacy of the World Health Organization or local authorities' recommended guidance on social distancing and self-isolation that may lead people to act against that guidance. YouTube sent me a very long list of their rules, and surprisingly, I really don't see how some of the removed videos could possibly be in breach of these guidelines, though there may, I suppose, be a local authority somewhere in the world which doesn't approve of colourful shirts. YouTube said I could appeal, but in their Kafkaesque world, the appeals button doesn't work, so I can't. The oppression and suppression of the truth is rapidly becoming more blatant. In London, the police fined the organiser of a peaceful demonstration against our loss of freedom, but are reported to have given permission for a pro-establishment campaign group, Extinction Rebellion, which I think ought to be called Exhibition Rebellion, to support the global warming myth behind Agenda 21. The rank and file perhaps don't realise it, but I believe they're supporting the fight to destroy mankind, desecrate our planet, and put us in thrall to the devil worshippers. A phrase I use not as a term of colourful abuse, but as an accurate description. When the law appears to take sides, then you know you're in trouble. We are living leaderless in the early days of a totalitarian world government, and it seems to me that YouTube is simply looking for an excuse to terminate channels which provide information or opinions which might inconvenience corrupt politicians, greedy drug companies, or psychopaths supporting the global reset and planning to enslave the world population. As I said, this is clearly the beginning of the end for this channel, and unless we up our game, the end for all of us. In an earlier video entitled "Why Has YouTube Taken Down My Video?", I explained my views on the freedom of speech. To make sure I don't miss any more of their threatening messages, I've put YouTube into the special category labelled spam, which is, I gather, where pompous totalitarian messages are most safely and appropriately stored. YouTube's prefects won't understand this unless they've seen the original Hitchcock version of The Lady Vanishes, but I'm English and a member of the MCC, and it's not in my nature to be bullied and told what to do by anyone, especially not by ignorant, humourless, jackbooted carpet knights, gangrels, muggles and scrofulous, oleaginous larrikins. The war ain't over while the old man has breath. And so now to the main feature, which incidentally does not violate any of the official commandments in the YouTube Black Prayer Book. If they take this one down, then we know this isn't business, it's personal. They say that the miraculous COVID-19 vaccine isn't quite ready yet, though there are those who believe it is ready and sitting in a warehouse waiting until enough people are scared sufficiently to take two knees and beg for it. They say they're still fiddling around with it. You can imagine them at work, can't you? Add a bit more pepper, some arsenic, a touch of cyanide. I think it needs a splash more mercury to give it that really lethal quality. So, since the drug company profits aren't going to boom for a while, they want us all to have a flu vaccination this year. They've probably got a few billion doses of something that needs using up. In the UK, Hancock is like a bad villain in a pantomime. "Oh, yes, you will. Oh, no, we won't," we reply. Politicians everywhere have for years now been blasting those of us who question the safety and value of vaccination as dangerous idiots who must be ignored, suppressed and silenced in every way possible. The enthusiasm for vaccination is widespread, The EU has apparently been planning a vaccination passport for all EU citizens since 2018. Naturally, the media has obliged with numerous articles following the official line. The media is enthralled to the medical conspiracy which thinks that vaccines are the answer to every disease. As so often happens, journalists ignore the facts and prefer to stick with the myths. And yet the odd thing is that despite the endless propaganda and the remorseless demonisation of those daring to tell the truth, a very large and ever-growing proportion of the population distrusts vaccination. A 2018 report by the Royal Society of Public Health in the UK showed that one in four individuals believes it's possible to be administered too many vaccines. Personally, I suspect that what this shows is three out of four individuals shouldn't be allowed to get out of bed by themselves. So why don't people trust vaccination or the people who promote it? First, they realise that everyone involved in pushing vaccines is making money out of them. Every year, GPs make an absolute fortune out of vaccinating patients. They don't even do the work themselves. A nurse, care assistant or passing cleaner actually does the syringe and needle stuff. The doctor just spends the money. Second, people are aware that the politicians, advisers and doctors who are promoting vaccination with such enthusiasm won't defend their position. I'm prepared to put my reputation on the line and to debate the value of vaccination in general and the proposed vaccines for COVID-19 and the flu in particular, with any senior government figure or senior government medical advisor. In the UK, Boris Johnson and Matt Hancock both claim to know that vaccination is good for us. So why won't they debate the issue with me or any other doctor who has doubts? I can only think of one explanation. They know they will lose the debate. I'd love to debate the issue of vaccination with Bill Gates, who seems to regard himself as an expert on the subject. But we all know there's no chance of that happening. And that's odd, because Mr. Gates seems to love doing interviews, especially with organisations such as The Guardian and the BBC, with which he has financial links. In the past, I used to debate the issue in public with vaccine supporters, but they always lost the debates, and so these days they don't want to take the risk. If vaccine supporters really believe that vaccines are safe and effective, they really should be willing to debate instead of simply trying to silence the doubters by saying, "We're right and you're wrong, so that's that, you're a nutter." One of the many, many oddities of the internet is that you can find all sorts of rubbish online, but you can't find those debates in which doctors debated with me and struggled and failed to defend vaccines and vaccination. Those have all disappeared. The bottom line is that patients are right to be worried about vaccines. The evidence available suggests that vaccines are neither reliably safe nor effective. There's a solid argument that although profitable for drug companies and doctors, they do more harm than good. The worldwide vaccine market is worth around $60 billion a year and rising fast. The refusal of those in power to debate the science is one of the reasons why people don't trust what they're told. And the scientific evidence does prove that vaccinations are neither safe nor effective. Deceitful, dishonest drug companies haven't done much to improve trust. Politicians and journalists like to talk a great deal about conspiracy theories, but it doesn't occur to them that there's a massive conspiracy of silence about vaccination. The drug company spin doctors have convinced civil servants and journalists that vaccination is wonderful and essential, and that anyone who dares to question vaccination programs must be suppressed. But if I'm such a lunatic, why won't the politicians and experts debate with me? If I'm so wrong, surely they could destroy me in a public debate. To be honest, I'd have to be stone drunk or fast asleep to lose a debate about vaccination. I've included scores of facts about vaccines in previous videos, but what about the fact that a company called GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, is one of the top earning vaccine companies in the world? One of its vaccines was called Pandemrix, the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. Government spent fortunes buying the stuff because Neil Ferguson, whose name is now pretty familiar to most of us, had predicted that the swine flu could lead to 65,000 deaths in the UK alone. In the end, the swine flu killed 457 people and had a death rate of just 0.026% of those infected. And the vaccine? Well, in Sweden and Finland, there were reports of narcolepsy occurring among children who had the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. And it's reported that not all the safety problems were made public. I have seen a report that by December 2009, for each 1 million doses of the vaccine given, about 76 cases of serious adverse events were reported, though this was not made public. A paper published in the British Medical Journal in 2018 reported that GSK had commented that, open quotes, further research is needed to confirm what role pandemics may have played in the development of narcolepsy among those involved, close quotes. The writer of the BMJ article commented, open quotes, now, 8 years after the outbreak, new information is emerging from one of the lawsuits that months before the narcolepsy cases were reported, the manufacturer and public health officials were aware of other serious adverse events logged in relation to pandemics, close quotes. In Ireland, the government kept inviting people to get vaccinated, even when it was clear that the pandemic was on the wane and it was nowhere near the catastrophe portrayed by Ferguson governments, industry and the media. One member of the Irish Parliament called the adverse effects after pandemics a, quote, completely avoidable catastrophe, close quote. She told the then Prime Minister, open quotes, the health service executive decided to purchase pandemics and continued to distribute it even after they knew it was dangerous and untested, close quotes. In Canada, a five-year-old girl died 5 days after an H1N1 flu shot and her parents sued GSK for $4.2 million. The parents' lawyer alleged that the drug was brought out quickly and without proper testing as the federal government exerted intense pressure on Canadians to get immunised. In previous videos, I listed some of the massive fines that GSK has had to pay. They make stuff that does a lot of harm and they then cover up the problems. In 2014, GSK was fined $490 million by China after a Chinese court found it guilty of bribery. The BBC said that GSK had said that it had learned its lessons, and the BBC added that one of those lessons was, open quotes, clearly that foreign companies need to keep a close eye on China's fast-ranging political and regulatory weather if they are to prosper, close quotes. Not that they shouldn't bribe people, you notice, but that they should be careful. In 2010, GSK paid out $1.14 billion because of claims over a drug called Paxil, and they settled lawsuits over a drug called Avandia for $500 million. In 2011, GSK paid $250 million to settle 5,500 death and injury claims and set aside $6.4 billion for future lawsuits and settlements in respect of the drug Avandia. In 2012, GSK pleaded guilty to federal criminal offences, including misbranding of two antidepressants and failure to report safety data about a drug for diabetes to the FDA in America. The company admitted to illegally promoting Paxil for the treatment of depression in children and agreed to pay a fine of $3 billion. That was the largest healthcare fraud settlement in US history. GSK also reached a related civil settlement with the US Justice Department. The $3 billion fine also included the civil penalties for improper marketing of half a dozen other drugs. I don't know whether you missed one word in that, by the way. The word was fraud. It's always worth knowing precisely what's meant by the words we use, isn't it? This is half of my pocket dictionary. Fraud is defined as the quality of being deceitful, criminal deception, the using of false representations to obtain an unjust advantage or to injure the rights or interests of another. An act or instance of deception, a dishonest trick, a fraudulent contrivance. Always nice to know who we're dealing with. The British government alone paid out £60 million to patients who had been damaged by GSK's pandemics vaccine And those are the patients who knew that they could claim and how to claim. Naturally, GSK had demanded that the government indemnify it against claims for damages. Bill Gates has, of course, demanded that everyone involved in the planned COVID-19 vaccine will be indemnified. You can't sue them if their vaccine turns out to be deadly. I bet car companies would love that deal. So, would you want to trust your life or your children's lives to GSK? Well, if you have a vaccine, then you may well be doing, because GSK is still making vaccines. And guess what? The UK's chief scientific advisor at the moment is someone called Sir Patrick Vallance. He is, I suspect, a key figure in dealing with the coronavirus in the UK and the plans for a vaccine. Vallance worked for GSK between 2006 and 2018. And by the time he left GSK, he was a member of the board and the corporate executive team. And they have the gall to call me a conspiracy theorist. I could, by the way, produce similar horror stories for just about all the big drug companies. And if I were making this up, I'd be facing libel actions that would make your eyes water. Well, they'd make my eyes water. I got waylaid a little. I started by talking about the flu vaccine. In the UK, the government is pushing hard to get millions of people vaccinated against the flu this autumn. They will, of course, insist that it's perfectly safe and perfectly effective. It'll probably make hair grow on bald patches, increase your breast size if that's what you want, and turn you into a super being capable of running a 3-minute mile. Trust Hancock and Johnson vaccine salesmen and hucksters to the inept and rather stupid. Boris Johnson, allegedly the British Prime Minister, claims that anyone who questions the value and safety of vaccination is, his word, nuts. But I do still have a few worries despite that. Millions are worried about the COVID-19 vaccine, but could it be that the heavily promoted flu vaccine is the one we should really be concerned about? Here are a few general questions for Boris Johnson to think about. First, did you know that people who have the flu vaccination may be more susceptible to other respiratory viruses? It's a well-known phenomenon called virus interference. How many people who have the flu vaccine this winter will die as a result of this well-documented problem? I could let your government see some research papers if they could find someone able to read them and understand them. Second, will the new vaccine for flu be an RNA or DNA vaccine by any chance? These are, as I'm sure you will know, very real potential problems. I know you don't know what the risks will be, but are you aware, Mr. Johnson, of the reservations expressed by the World Health Organization, so beloved of YouTube, which has said many aspects, this is a quote, many aspects of the immune response generated by DNA vaccines are not understood, close quotes. Since your government abides by everything the World Health Organization says, you will naturally be concerned by this. Third, as I'm sure you know, there's always been a link between vaccination and cancer. Are you aware that an FDA researcher has found hundreds of cancer genes in MMR vaccines, for example? The FDA has found that cellular matter used in the manufacture of vaccines is often contaminated with serious disease-causing viruses. The problem is that the health problems don't occur until years or decades after vaccination. Since no long-term trials are done on vaccination, don't you think, Mr. Johnson, it might be a good idea to insist that drug companies start them? The results should be available in 20 or 30 years' time. Fourth, how much testing will be done on this year's flu vaccine, or is the vaccine being rushed through, like something else we could mention? Fifth, how effective will this year's flu vaccine really be? Previous vaccines have been pretty useless, providing protection in only just half of adults. And why push vaccines for older patients when vaccines tend to work even less well for the over 65s? Sixth, it is reported that it was Bill Gates, a software person, who stopped President Trump's planned Vaccine Safety Commission. It's alleged that Gates said, quotes, "No, that's a dead end. That would be a bad thing. Don't do that," close quotes. And so the commission didn't happen. Was that true? And if so, why was it a bad thing to have a commission into vaccines? Seventh, the nasal vaccine proposed for children will be a live flu vaccine. with the live attenuated virus in it. How safe will it be this year, especially when many doctors say that immune systems may have been weakened? It's worth remembering that in 2016, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States pulled a nasal flu vaccine because it was only 3% effective. The CDC stated that no protective benefit could be measured and that the vaccine had not been statistically effective for 3 years running. Did you know that, Mr. Johnson? Did you know that, Mr. Hancock? One vaccine with live flu viruses in it contains 80 million live viruses per dose, attenuated, and genetically modified, of course. The side effects with the nasal vaccine are potentially horrific and include neurological and behavioural problems. I could fill a video with the side effects of this stuff alone. Incidentally, because viruses mutate, there's no guarantee that the viruses used won't revert to an infectious version, even if they're attenuated. I wouldn't take a nasal flu vaccine if you gave me £1 million to have it. So those are my preliminary questions, Mr. Johnson. I know you'll think I'm a nut for asking them, but I'd appreciate some answers. I hope those who view this video will pass these questions on to their political representatives asking for answers and send the questions to radio, TV and newspaper commentators who claim vaccines are always safe and wonderful. The transcript with these questions will be on my website. Please, it's important that these questions are asked. When we've got answers to those questions, I've got another couple of hundred questions I'd like to ask, but they'll do for now. And scientists still don't know if having the flu vaccine makes people more likely to develop other infections, including one you can probably think of, or at least to test positive for it. Some research into that might be a good idea. Come to think of it, maybe that's why there's so much enthusiasm about giving the flu vaccine to as many people as possible this autumn. I think the evidence shows pretty clearly that out of the two of us, it's Boris who's the nut, since he supports an indefensible piece of nonsense. We have all the science on our side. The pro-vaxxers have greed, lies, fraud and propaganda on their side. And by any decent definition, Boris is also a conspiracy theorist, since he's supporting a pretty untenable conspiracy. It isn't difficult to see why they won't support their point of view by debating the issue. Keep pushing them. Send tweets to Boris and Matt Hancock demanding that they debate vaccination with someone. Finally, are we supposed to be reassured by the fact that there is a vaccine impact modelling consortium at Imperial College London, which is apparently funded by a whole bunch of organisations, including drug companies, the British government and, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Personally, I find it difficult to have enthusiasm for such an organisation, not least because the acting director, you never believe it, is someone called Niall Ferguson. Now, where have I heard that name before? Wasn't he one of the Three Stooges, or was he the circus clown who always ended up with a custard pie in his face? Or was it the bloke whose absurd predictions and lockdown policies seemed to me to be likely to be responsible in the end for more global deaths than Hitler? Meanwhile, the next time a doctor wants to vaccinate you or a relative, ask him or her this simple question. Will you guarantee that the vaccination is safe and effective, and will you take responsibility if things go wrong? Ask for the assurance in writing. I'll be very surprised if you get it. We all very much need to reach and educate more people. Mainstream media continues to lie and mislead, and we need to counter that. As far as I know, the mass market media didn't even bother to report the fact that in the United States of America, the number of COVID-19 deaths has been officially reduced by 94% to just over 9,000. Unbelievably, the NHS in the UK is using vast chunks of taxpayers' money to pay social media celebrities to promote government lies and testing nonsenses. Please continue to help by sharing existing videos and by printing out material from the website transcripts. This channel isn't monetized, and nor is the website www.vernoncolman.com. We have no ads and no sponsors, and these videos and the website actually cost us money. So this isn't about us getting rich. This is a public service channel, like the BBC used to be many years ago, and we need your help. Oh, and one other thing. Those of us who question governments are being silenced in every conceivable way. YouTube videos are being censored and banned almost as soon as I put them up. I did have a LinkedIn account, but that seems to have been deleted without a word of explanation. If the videos disappear completely, please go to my website, www.vernoncoleman.com. I fear the videos may not have long to live. There's one method of silencing which they haven't tried yet, of course. If I suddenly disappear, then I'll come back and haunt the bastards for eternity. Remember, it may sometimes seem as though you're alone, but you're not. More and more people are waking up, and together we will win this war. Thanks for watching. An old man in a chair.